Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go for this Friday on the front porch, the seventh day of October 2016. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. This program is live, of course, as are the many denizens of The Horn chat room, which you can reach by going to HeadOnRadioNetwork.com and clicking on chat room, picking out a screen name and a password, and thereupon being gladly welcomed by the likes of Anatole, Don from Central PA, Jug of Punch, Jules, Laborman, Steve from Georgistan, and BT Blom, as well as others as the evening progresses. All capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has indeed folded space into the man cave once again. It is apparently nicer in Northern California right now than it is, say, along the Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina coasts. I'm glad to report that we've had several check-ins from folks letting us know that things are okay for them in Florida. Thank you very kindly for doing that. Thanks, Smitty. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. You are all on our minds as this massive storm tracks up the East Coast. We're seeing, I guess, what would be the furthest-reaching outer bands of the hurricane over the hills and hollers of almost level West Bicol, Virginia stand right now. Drizzly, rainy, kind of cold, shitty, and miserable. Nothing by comparison to what y'all are dealing with. So check in when you get a chance, if you would, please, just to let us know you're okay. Because this is a small family, but it is a close-knit one. And everybody in this community matters. Oh, hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. And I guess before we jump into the thick of things this evening, I need to apologize for yesterday. And boy, do I. What a day. Everything would have been pretty much okay if upon getting back, and I got back a little bit late from Charleston because, well, Charleston, Ferg had a consult with a surgeon down there yesterday, having run a nasty piece of jagged metal through his, up into his hand, I should say, not through, it's not like it went all Jesus-like through the palm or anything, no, it's on his right hand, and it went into the meat of his hand there below his little finger and up toward the middle of his hand, and he has no feeling in the little finger and the ring finger of his right hand, which has put a real dent into his guitar playing, among other things. He's got a hard splint on his arm right now that he will wear until the middle of next week, because that's when he's undergoing surgery. Yeah, that jagged piece of metal was on the basket of a frisbee golf hole, as it were. Yeah, be careful reaching into those things, would you? We just learned the hard way. So that's that. So by the time we got home from there, I was all raring to go with at least a truncated program here before doing the Malloy program at 9 o'clock, and then everything fell apart. And I mean everything. For a while, the production computer wasn't cooperating. That knocked out this part of the program. And then, much to my, chagrin, if not surprise, it turned out that when Frontier Communications was screwing us over a couple of weeks ago and then claimed to have fixed things, well, they fixed it real good. So the gizmo that we use to communicate from here to Progressive Voices, and Mike and Kathy have the same gizmo that they use to communicate from there to Progressive Voices. Well, our gizmo wasn't communicating because somewhere along the way, and well, I'm still having my life stolen from me by Frontier Communications in an effort to figure out exactly what they did do, but they did something to the static IP line that is a condition precedent to all of this. And the two machines would not—they wouldn't shake hands, they wouldn't kiss, they wouldn't even talk to each other. It was as if they had had a horrible, horrible drunken spat the night before and still hadn't gotten over it. So yeah, this is beautiful. I tried to reach Frontier Technical Support last night, and I got some young woman who knows precisely nothing about technical support except what her computer tells her. And she informed me that no matter how dire nor desperate the problem was, she was terribly, 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 terribly unable to help me last night because, and I quote, our entire system is down and won't be up for two more hours. If you could call us back in two more hours, we'll be able to help you. In the meantime, have you tried unplugging and powering your router back up? Yeah. No, I would never think of something like that. So let's just say if you're somewhere that is served by Frontier Communications and you have an opportunity to go with some other internet service provider, do. Just do. And this, you know, the problem will persist until such time as I get meaningful engineering help at Frontier. The folks at Telos were quite helpful on an emergency basis. They said, "Oh yeah, that's definitely a problem with your ISP. Bye now." And it is. I mean, there was nothing more for them to say. And so that prevented me from sitting in for Malloy last night. And I apologize. I popped into the chat room long enough to say, gee, I'm sorry. That's what all of that was. Which, in the meantime, put us in rather of a one bind and two hole as far as keeping this little, this wee little attempt, this wee little more than 10-year-old effort at independent broadcasting afloat. We would have had a $200. Well, no, let's see. Maybe better to be. We got 200. Jesus! Because see, it's all made complicated by the fact that I'm out on Monday. There will be no live program on Monday because I'll be early on Monday deep throating a garden hose with an ultrasound attached to it this time. Yay! And there's going to be lots of fun. And because of the anesthesia involved, Agnes is not going to let me anywhere near the microphone Monday. Even if I, honey, no, really, it's 5 o'clock. I'm sober. No, why is your skin? Why is your skin turning paisley? If I wasn't a firm believer in nonviolence, I'd take you up on it, Gerald. Brother Deacon Gerald of the Building and Grounds Committee, noting, I hate to see you this way, Mr. Kincaid. How's about me and the boys shoot that frontier dead? I think they're coughing up blood as it is. Pining, getting ready to pine for the fjords. But then again, this program is reaching you through their connection. It just sort of barely. So anyway, Monday's out. And while I hope that is not the case, there is a possibility that Wednesday is out. And I hope you'll be tolerant of me saying so, but it's because, one of our children is having surgery, and that takes precedence. So we'll be taking him down to Charleston and bringing him back. Which adds in another wrinkle. So, Ferg is version 2.0 of me. Same name, different birthday, different social security number. Hell, different diagnosis. But that was not enough to prevent the fine folks at Charleston Area Medical Center from completely flip-flopping his surgery and my procedure. So they were going to go in, had they been left to their own devices, they were going to go in on Monday and play with Ferg's pancreas, and I was going to go get my hand fixed on Wednesday. We thought we had this taken care of via telephone early in the day, but I found out later in the day that, no, in fact, we did not. That they were still planning on playing with Ferg's pancreas on Monday. Oh, dear Jesus. I'll be lucky. You know what? By the time I get home Monday, I'll be lucky if I'm not missing missing one leg below the knee and have a pair of 44 double D's on my chest. God damn, really? Looks like it's time for me to draw a picture on my belly again. You know, the one over by my my left of my navel that says, "No, really, appendix here. Use no hooks, post no bills, freight on board, COD. Do not kill." And I'm just going to be extra, extra meticulous about making sure that I'm the one who gets his pancreas looked at, while Ferg is the one who gets his, you know, hand worked on. Because I've got really good feeling in my little finger and my ring finger on my right hand. Ferg, not so much. So where does that leave us? When last we talked on Wednesday, we had $50. Thank you very kindly, Randy. We had $50 remaining in Bob in Texas's challenge, which would have taken us down to. So that left 85. So yesterday would have been 285, 385, 585. Okay, so the fundraising goal, and it makes my liver quiver, and it doesn't need to do that, by the way. $585 is the fundraising goal this evening, and I realize that is a... And it doesn't take into account Wednesday, because Wednesday isn't here yet. But in order not to be in just a truly miserable position come Tuesday, that's where, and to be completely caught up with this week, if we didn't count what remains of Monday, the fundraising goal would be $485 this evening. With 50, but there's good news. There's the remaining $50 of Bob in Texas challenge, and there is a $125 challenge on the table, courtesy of Chris in Germany. So that's $175. Look, let's just not make it any more difficult than it has to be. We'll call it $485, and if the $175 $175 worth of challenges gets met, then that'll be 350 knocked out of the 485. Okay? Have we got a fighting chance? Can we do this? So we'll, 485 with $175 in challenges on the table. That means that the first $175 that come in gets doubled. And thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Gerald of the Building and Grounds Committee. That's the first $165 that come in now get doubled. So we are on the way, and thank you very kindly. Okay, Snork, there's another thing for me to write on my chest. In fact, I think I'll have Agnes do the writing, because me, upside down, backwards, and sideways, not, my handwriting sucks anyway. Not the heart donor. And probably underline not and do not in all caps in Sharpie. Yeah. Should I shave my chest first, just in case they... I don't know. So you cross your fingers, and 165 to go on the challenge, which means $475 to go on the night. And again, it's Friday on the Front Porch, which means the conversation, the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable conversation, will begin in about 44 minutes or so, assuming I don't filibobster you guys into heart-rending boredom. A gentle reminder as to how the whole Friday on the Front Porch thing works. If you've never participated before, for lo these many years now, Sparky has moderated that as well. And if you would like to participate in Friday on the Front Porch, listen very carefully. Sign into Skype. Send a contact request to Sparky Dunk on Skype. That's one word, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunk. He will then give you the breadcrumb trail and show you the Bob signal, at which point you'll be all set to participate in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable that rolls around now in about 40 to 43 minutes. Okay? Now, for those of you who cannot manage Skype, we have one phone line, the stress line. And you can call in on that at 304-663-4676. You'll hear the group, you'll hear me, everybody will hear you, and everybody will hear all of us then. And we'll just see what engages the imagination of those of us who carry the likes of Donald Trump all these many years on our backs. And see where the conversation takes us. Okay. I guess we have to talk about Donald Trump some more, because if we don't talk about Donald Trump, then he might just wither and fade away. By now, I'm sure you've probably seen the breaking news that he really is a foul-mouthed, filthy vulgarian. And that he really does have a low opinion of women and sees them almost solely as vessels for receiving his seed. Ooh. Yeah, I know. Everybody's already going, yuck. I know. What we're talking about goes back to 2005. Yeah, exactly. Steve from Georgistan in the chat room noting, he's the orange elephant in the room, Bob. They shoot elephants, don't they? Just stop that. No, that was Horses. Movie, Jane Fonda. Long time ago. It goes back to 2005, and he was going... Benito Chito was going to have a guest shot on Days of Our Lives. And so he was taken there I guess by, one of those gossipy entertainment programs. Come on. Access Hollywood. And what does it say that the guy he was talking to, Billy Bush, is now at the Today Show? I wouldn't know. I don't watch the Today Show, but that's what the Washington Post story says. He and Billy Bush were in the on a bus with Access Hollywood written across the side. They were heading for the set of Days of Our Lives to tape a segment about Trump having a guest shot on the soap opera. And lo and behold, there was a rolling recording device, and T-Rump didn't know about the hot mic. And so, the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini waxed testosteronic about how he put the make on De Broads. Yeah, I know, labor man in the chat room. Scrump the Letcher, who knew? Yeah. Which is not, by the way, Letcher County, Kentucky, and has nothing to do with them. So he tells Billy Bush about this time that he put the make on a woman and struck out. I moved on her and I failed, I'll admit it. I did try and fuck her. She was married. And I moved on her very heavily. In fact, I took her out furniture shopping. Man, what a romantic. She wanted to get some furniture. I said, I'll show you where they have some nice furniture. I moved on her like a bitch, but I couldn't get there, and she was married. Then all of a sudden I see her. She's now got the big phony tits and everything. She's totally changed her look. I'm hoping I don't come back from Charleston Monday with the big phony tits, but at this point in time, your guess is as good as mine. At that, and as the Washington Post reports, at that point in the audio, Trump and Bush appear to notice Arianne Zucker, the actress who's waiting to escort them into the soap opera set. At which point, Trump says, your girl's hot as shit in the purple. Whoa. I gotta use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. Just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything. And then Billy Bush responds, and I'd say Billy Bush is probably the one who's in deep shit right now, because the Today Show does not value people who engage in lechery, I guess. Whatever you want, says another voice, apparently Bush's. Grab him by the pussy. You can do anything, says Trump. I'm no prude, but this is disgusting. By the way, the girl in the purple winds up in a photograph with Donald Trump, Arianne Zucker did, along with Billy Bush. God, will we ever reach a day when we're not being bedeviled by people named Bush? Maybe not. Brother Deacon Gerald noting, oh, there, God! You would think that a guy raised around all that money wouldn't be such a classless asshat. Well, maybe you would. I wouldn't. I mean, not being critical, Gerald, but, you know, damn. It's... Well, I mean, so here's my thinking on it. This thing goes on, and it's got kind of a and remember, he's totally classy and has a great temperament. His great temperament's part of his best traits. It's a beautiful trait. So, starting with the onset of puberty, and God Almighty, heaven only knows, this is part of the ongoing, so far, failed discussion that we're trying to have with American males about, you know, not being all rapey. But starting about puberty, when the testosterone starts flowing freely, young, especially inexperienced boys will start talking graphically and somewhat grotesquely about sex, sexuality, and females and their sexual exploits, 99.9% of which are entirely imaginary. And the word locker room is usually thrown into the discussion to describe, well, yeah, that's just locker room talk. Young men are like that. You know, they're all horny and stuff. Maybe there's something wrong with me, but I can't recall it ever being... I was never comfortable with that. And it is objectifying. I mean, sure. Have I ever looked over and gone, God damn, she's hot. Whoa. Yeah, I've done. Yeah, sure. But on the level that what Trump was doing here, yeah, just go up and grab him by the, holy, what? I guess there are no criminal statutes for. Wealthy men who grab women by their genitals, because that's what he says he does, because, you know, they'll just let you if you're, like, rich and famous. Mr. Trump, I've got Bill Cosby on you for on line one for you. He says you'll want to take his call. I'm not trying to dwell on the prurient nature of this story, but rather to try to give it some sort of broader context. A, once again, we have another story that will not have any impact whatsoever on the willingness of the Trumpanzees to go and vote for Trump.
Well, I mean, he's just red-blooded American man. That's the way red-blooded American man thinks. Goddamn. What do you think? He's one of them sissy fairies? Of course he talks like that. Talks like that because he likes to fuck women. Huh? Yeah.
But... So, I mean, it goes on, locker room, whatever. And Labor Man points out, Bob, he'll probably get even more men to vote for him now. And if this turns out to be a plus for him, then, you know, look, just... give up. But here's the thing. You know, there's that old verse out of the New Testament where St. Paul says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things.
And you can file the testosterone fueled adolescent bravado of young men of little sexual experience away within you know that that paradigm. But at the time that he said this, 1995, let's see, ciphering, damn it. Let's see, 1950. He was 49, 50 years old. This isn't some pimply 19-year-old snapping towels in a locker room. This is a wealthy master of the universe, because even then he was a marketing phenomenon, even though 1995 is the same time, is the same year that he was losing $0.91 billion and sticking America with the bill. I mean, he's actually on the downside, well into the downside of his sexual potency. Biologically speaking, males peak around, what, 22, 23, 24? Women peak later? But he still talks like the same kid that he was when he was a rotten-ass little spoiled brat in military school. And maybe that explains a whole bunch of Donald Trump's existence, a case of terminally arrested development. But he was 49, 50, 51 years old. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. 61 years old. This was 2005, not 1995. I'm conflating. By which time he has, and this I think is key, at least two daughters. And the fact of having daughters and, you know, a spouse, changed me. Didn't change him. But he wants, you know, he needs a Tic Tac in case he has to go over and forcibly kiss a woman. Whether she wants kissing or not, because she needs it, whether she knows it or not. And, yeah, I got to use some Tic Tacs. Donald Tic Tac Trump. Hey, they make orange Tic Tacs. NBC Universal took a powder on commenting. But the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini did issue a statement. This was locker room banter, a private conversation that took place many years ago. No, dickhead! You conducted that conversation in a public place. It wasn't in a locker room. It was in a goddamn bus. It was on the set of Days of Our Lives, and it was with a public figure, and there just happened to be a hot mic nearby. And you weren't sharp enough to realize that mics, as well put it this way, always assume that a mic is live and hot and that a gun is loaded. It's really the only way to deal with that.
But he was overwhelmed by his manly Trumpiness. Yeah, I know, Steve from Georgia Stan. It was a youthful indiscretion, Bob. At, well, 60-year-old youthful indiscretion. 59. This was locker room banter, private conversation that took place many years ago. And then this. Bill Clinton has said far worse to me on the golf course. Not even close. Was there an open mic nearby, Donald? Can you rustle up some proof? Anything other than your own filthy little mind? And I do mean little. No, didn't think so. But then the whipped cream on the pile of shit that is Donald Trump. I apologize if anyone was offended. The non-apology apology. He only apologizes if people weren't offended. If people weren't offended, he doesn't apologize. Mm-hmm. This is certainly going to make things interesting going into Sunday's pageant. Quite possibly the only thing that could have moved Hurricane Matthew out of the front and center spotlight. Further proof that Donald Trump is a lecherous old perv. You know, sooner or later we're going to find out that you know, he probably, you know, didn't just want to have sex with his daughters. Hillary Clinton was married to the single greatest abuser of women in the history of politics. I don't know. I mean, Caligula? Anybody? I mean, we've had some kinksters even in the... hey, Thomas Jefferson got it on with his sister-in-law, who wasn't his sister-in-law because, you know, she was half black and everything, and continued to keep her enslaved, but fathered children by her. Ah, Don, I think you're a ways off there.
Hillary was an enabler, and she attacked the women who Bill Clinton mistreated afterward. I think it's a serious problem for them, and it's something that I'm considering talking about more in the near future. You know, you could do a better Donald Trump impression if you kind of purse your lips together in a sort of little mouth anus.
And he now explains away the tawdry things that he said about women by saying,
a lot of that was done for the purpose of entertainment. There's nobody that has more respect for women than I do.
Yeah, let's see. Nice legs. And then Billy Bush says, oof, get out of the way, honey. Because some woman was blocking his view of Ms. Zucker. And then it turns out that Billy Bush was kind of pimping for Donald. How about a little hug for the Donald? He just got off the bus. And he's
one of only two people who have a chance of being elected president of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Kind of reminds me of something. Uh,
Yeah, this. Ah, come on.
He's climbing in your windows, he's snatching your people up, trying to rape him, so you need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, because they're raping everybody out here. You don't have to come and confess, we're looking for you, we gon' find you, we gon' find you, so you can run and tell that, run and tell that, run and tell that, homeboy, homeboy. We got your t-shirts and the left fingerprints, and oh, you are so dumb. You are really gone, for real.
The man got away, leaving behind evidence.
I was attacked by some idiot in the project. So dumb, so dumb, so dumb, so dumb. He's climbing in your windows, he's snatching your people up, trying to rape them, so y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, 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 and hide your husband, because they're raping everybody out here. You don't have to come and confess, we're looking for you, we don't.
Yeah, but he has confessed. I mean, so, you know, that makes it that much easier. Well, 40 minutes into the program, and I'm already pretty sure I need a bleach shower. Brother Deacon Asa, That's an interesting concept, but I need some elaboration here. Tell you what, Brother Bob, because I'm a sadistic sumbitch, and I also know that the Horn Family Community Congregation would utterly enjoy hearing 3 frolicking hours of addled Bob Kincaid cussing and discussing on the air, I'm offering a have a show on me for this upcoming Monday. The ball is in your court, Kincaid. Are you actually, Asa, offering up a have a show on me for me to come in here and do a program Monday evening, knowing full well that I'll be, you know, shaking off the effects of massive doses of fentanyl and Versed, having had my memory wiped? Who knows? I might be Alex Jones by then. You know what? All I can say is I'll ask Agnes. Maybe she'll sit here and put the blood pressure cuff on me and periodically test my blood sugar and my heart rate and pulse and all of that stuff and. See if I start going sideways over the over the edge of the chair. From a hole that's, you know, $475 deep. No, God, come on. It's mighty tempting. We'll see. Let's put it up to the Horn Family Community Congregation. You guys want me in here half out of my mind on drugs and God only knows in what state of confusion? I mean, if you do, shoot me a note or, you know, message me or say something in the chat room. Asa says, absolutely, it'll be fun. For who, Asa? Steve from Georgistan says, Miss Agnes ain't going to go for that, Bob. Sparky said, no. Steve said, no, it's not safe. V.T. Blom, on the other hand, in Florida, who just who's riding out the storm, said, why not, Bob? We're out of our minds. Jug of Punch says, hell no. Laborman says, yes, a dopey host, always fun. Well, the voting's pretty tight at this point in the game. Ay, ay, ay. What else have we got? I mean, we got lots of stories to talk about this evening. Are you aware that the trial of ammonium nitrate Bundy and the other Bundys and the dildo militia from the bird sanctuary is going on? The Mueller trial, if you will. Ammonium nitrate Bundy took the stand where he testified in his own behalf. He testified for like 2 days and more. Among other things, he said, we knew we had to stay at the refuge until we got their attention. And that he was trying to adversely possess, which is a legal term, adversely possess the wildlife refuge. One, which is legally impossible. Two, which would take 20 years of uninterrupted occupation of an open and notorious fashion. Yeah. But they didn't have a month's worth of snacks, let alone 20 years worth. Well, like I said, that went on for 2 days. The cross-examination by Assistant U.S. Attorney Ethan Knight, on the other hand, took 15 minutes. And really kind of made mincemeat out of ammonium nitrate Bundy. Meanwhile, the trial judge has been just kind of perturbed because the defense of this case has just wandered all over creation. Hopefully there will soon be a jury verdict. Among other things, Bundy was asked about the fact that he took out a Small Business Administration loan. When pressed on it, I'm not sure that's not allowed by the Constitution. You know, getting a loan from the government. Clearly, that's constitutional, especially if it's a loan for ammonium nitrate Bundy. Along the way, he's tried to argue that the Constitution doesn't permit the federal government to own land. And every time the pettifogger, and I mean J. Noble Daggett, this guy ain't, Marcus Mumford, every time he's tried to bring up some lunatic theory of the Constitution, I suspect it's gotten to the point where it's sort of like one of those really uppity kind of, you know, the highfalutin auctions where, you know, you can just sort of just wiggle a finger and the auctioneer knows. The U.S. attorney was objecting so much that it just kind of got to, you know, like scratch an earlobe and the judge sustained. And ammonium nitrate Bundy among other things
claims, "They had red dots all over me. They were constantly threatening to open fire." They also tried to put Lavoie Finkham's wife on, his widow. Remember, Lavoie Finkham committed suicide by cop. He, being an old, cranky white guy, was allowed to reach not once, not twice, but three times for a firearm before they finally shot him. Just about every other syllable, the U.S. attorney was over there, kind of, you know, scratching the earlobe. It looked like a baseball third base coach, you know, trying to give him the steal sign or sustained. I think they did manage to get her name out without being, yeah. Dogman in the chat room says, "Survey says yes to medication-addled hosting." James says, "Yes, post video to Facebook. Dr. Bill is your straight man." Meanwhile, a note coming from Chug a Punch, our buddy Thomas. Subject line, have a matching challenge. "I still will have enough funds to pay for my monthly commitments to you, Mike, Sam, CRMW, and the 8 campaign for the next 12 months. Have a $50 matching challenge." Okay. So now there is $215 worth of matching challenges on the table, which would get very close to knocking down the $400 worth of fundraising. So please don't let these challenges just go by the boards. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Chris. And thank you, Thomas. And again, here in the next few minutes, we'll be going to the Extraordinary Ordinary Friday on the Front Porch Roundtable. And if you've never participated, this would be a great evening to start. Yeah. No, not that kind of guest shot, Jim. As to the guest shot on Days of Our Lives, Jim says, "Guest shot at what? It came from his anus?" Oh, what a weird little freak Donald Trump is. And by the way, by now I'm sure you've heard about Matt Drudge. And back to the hurricane for a minute here. Matt Drudge declared that Hurricane Matthew was a government conspiracy to make people believe in climate change. Meanwhile, in Florida, Governor Rick Scott, while encouraging people to evacuate and telling them that this was a storm that would kill them, he still refuses to mention climate change. Because, I mean, the late-generating giant Cat 4 hurricanes that form further south in the Caribbean basin than anywhere ever known before. Yeah, it just happens. Right? Yeah. And there's already been one death attributable. Yeah, it's not really attributable to the hurricane. Berkeley County, South Carolina, the sheriff there, Dwayne Lewis, says that A 35-year-old motorist named Louis M. Felkel allegedly took a shot at some deputies after fleeing a checkpoint in Monk's Corner, South Carolina, stand during the Hurricane Matthew evacuation. Felkel was, in the words of the department, apparently agitated over an evacuation route. He pulled up to a checkpoint on the evacuation route on Wednesday evening around 5:30 p.m. Then, after speaking to a deputy, he knocked down some of the traffic cones before he sped off. This then was said to have placed the officers in danger. The Monk's Corner police called the sheriff's office for assistance. They responded, picked up the chase on Old Highway 52. The sheriff's department says that he drove in a reckless manner toward the officers. They eventually caught up with him. He pulled a gun on them, started shooting. The officers shot back. They wounded him and took him to the hospital, and he died there of his injuries at about 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Yeah. The evacuations with this storm have been significant and, I'm sure, horribly, horribly stressful. Because of Matt Drudge's allegation that this is all just a government conspiracy and that Matthew's really no big deal, who knows? Right-wingers, conservatives, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals, Trumpansies may not evacuate. Goddamn. Anything for a click, right? Anything for a click. But I remind folks, please, if you're part of the Horn Family Community Congregation and you're in the path of the storm, check in with us. Make sure we know you're okay. Because otherwise we'll worry. And when you look at these evacuations and the amount of order or disorder that attends them, now this is a storm and everybody evacuating knows it's going to be temporary. What happens when it's not a temporary evacuation and in fact it is a mass migration? Reckon we're ready for that? Because I'm guessing the answer is no. But, you know, climate change, giant hoax, right? Sure. And besides, you know, hurricane, shmurricane. Because Trump. Ugh. Yeah. All right, well, let's fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, shall we? And I certainly hope you'll jump in. I guess we won't have, I don't know, will we have Billable Rick tonight? Or is he off at Geezer Palooza?
I don't remember. I know there was going to be some camping involved. Yeah. And again, the stress line is there for those of you who can't, well, one at a time, those of you who don't have any luck with Skype or however that breaks out. All right, then. Fire it up, Sparky. We'll go from there. This is listener-supported conversation radio. We're trying to raise, let's just put it this way. We got $215 worth of matching challenges on the table. If we can get those challenges matched, we will be in a lot better shape than we were to begin with. Okay, break time. I'm Bob Kincaid.
That's what happens when my media player won't start. You wind up with a live version of really old Scorpion singing Rock You Like a Hurricane. No way was I going to play Riding the Storm Out. I'm sorry. Just REO Styx Journey Speedwagon. Mm-mm. No, sorry. Nope. The voting continues. Steve, tiebreaker, no, as to me on Monday. Smitty, on the other hand, says, yes, I want you Monday if you feel up to it. I don't think we've had this big a split of opinion in the Horn Family Community Congregation in a while. And look, I mean, I'm not kidding. I would love to take Brother Deacon Asa up on the offer, and I guess technically I am. But like, if I'm not conscious, it's not going to be fun radio. And sometimes you have to sleep this stuff off. And, well, I don't look. Okay, let's put it this way. I'll try. I will try. I give you my word. I will try. And if I can come creeping and crawling in here and maybe get Agnes Viking Warrior Princess to sit here with me, we'll have a go at it. As long as, you know, I've resisted talking about exactly what was going on. But okay, so here's what's going on. They're not just going to stick an endoscope down my throat. They're sending an ultrasound with it. Why an ultrasound? Well, because they're going to use that to try to figure out the location of this thing called a pseudocyst on my pancreas, which may be what has caused me such manifest pain since, like, March. Every day, just about. And if they find it, they're going to take a needle and they're going to jam it through my stomach, from the inside of my stomach. They're going to jam a needle through my stomach and they're going to try to reach the pseudocyst with it and, you know, drain it. In essence, they are popping a zit on my pancreas. And I just ruined somebody's dinner somewhere. So ordinarily, with an endoscopy, I'd say, yeah, what the hell, I'll be there. Maybe. You know, assuming everything wears off. I don't know what's going to happen when they jam a needle through the inside of my stomach, fumbling around trying to find a pseudocyst on my pancreas. I don't know. But I will try. I will try. Y'all are some hard taskmasters. Let's run over to the Skype line where Sparky is manning the controls to the Horn Malloy Skype chat group from the man cave. Hey, Sparky.
From the semi-warm man cave.
A little toasty?
Nah, it's just, I had to turn the fan off. I didn't want you guys hearing that going.
That's helpful. No, I take it there's no Labrador Cam this weekend?
No, he's back. He's back in lookout.
Oh, I had fun watching him chase the ball last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, him the dog, not him your stepson, okay? I mean, just to be clear.
And the dog. Yeah, that's with a tennis ball thrower, handheld, you know, they work pretty good.
Oh, no, they do. I was, after watching all that last week, I was eyeing one in the store this week, thinking, that could be fun. Mm-hmm. You know, Agnes just stands there and flings it, and I run out and get it and bring it back.
But you got a new puppy, don't you?
Yes, there is a baby. Matilda.
How big will Matilda be?
We don't really know. We're told that she is at least half a yellow Labrador retriever. It's the other half we're wondering about, because the other half may be pit bull. Thanks, Ferg.
Uh-oh. Yeah, Grady, that black dog you saw, he's half lab and half something else. He suffers from separation anxiety. When they leave him somewhere, if they have to leave him somewhere, and he goes nuts.
Well, hell, Steve and Karen stuck poor Cletus in a kennel for 4 days to run off and cavort and frolic around. And is Cletus speaking to y'all yet, Steve?
She's still giving me the snake eye, Bob.
Just one, yeah, because at this point she can't trust you anymore. She's wondering when you're going to do it to her again.
Yeah, she's waiting for me to throw her under the bus, and every time we rattle the keys, I get the snake eye, so...
Well, she should be more careful.
So how are you, Mr. Bob?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Agnes and I got around to watching U-Turn last night.
Did you? What did you think?
That's a wild-ass movie.
Yeah, it's got just about every actor from that era you could think of. And they made that on a dare. They made that in about 4 days.
Really?
Yes, sir. It's based on the book Stray Dogs.
Yeah, I noticed that in the credits. Yeah, that line keeps Ridley. Popping up. You've got to be, you've got to be more careful.
You ought to be. Yeah. Wouldn't Billy Bob Thornton? Wasn't that classic?
Oh, the makeup alone on Billy Bob Thornton probably should have gotten an Oscar. But the other line that I'm going to hang on to out of that, and it's a 1997 film. I'd never seen it.
Most haven't.
It comes right at the end of the movie. And no spoilers, but when Sean Penn just looks up and says, "Still lucky."
And we know what happens next.
Yeah. So it...
What's the name of it?
U-Turn.
Okay.
Oliver Stone directed, Sean Penn, Jennifer Lopez, Billy Bob Thornton, Joaquin Phoenix, Claire Danes, Powers Booth.
Just a who's
Nick
who's
Nolte,
yep.
John Voight.
Yeah.
John Voight should have gotten an Academy Award for best really, really small part supporting actor.
He played the blind Indian, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't pet him, did you? Oh, what a great flick. I figured you'd get a kick out of that.
I mean, there were some funnies, but also there was a lot of cringing.
Oh, yeah. Well, Stone self-admits that it's his most darkest flick ever made, but it has the biggest cult following as well. So
I sat there watching it and it doesn't, it doesn't have the gravity of it, but I kept thinking about Bad Day at Black Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Where it, because there's nobody nice, nobody good, nobody decent in the entire town. And of course, Spencer Tracy is is somebody from out of town who nobody knows and everybody's paranoid about. The shithouse rotten luck of Sean Penn. I mean, my God.
Even the big-haired waitress wouldn't help him out, wouldn't even slide him a free beer or anything. And then when he got it, he cut his hand on it. It was like, this guy just can't catch a break.
Yeah, now listen, I mean, for those who haven't seen it, let's not ruin it.
Okay. Won't say another word. It's not like anybody's going to run out to get it, though, I don't think, but... Maybe they will.
By the way, more input coming in. Robert in Australia says, subject line, take the day off. You need to rest after any medical procedure. I've had enough of them recently, so I know. Do not be persuaded to do otherwise. Signed, Robert from Oz.
The worst thing you could do is try to, relax yourself with a glass of wine. I did that after a procedure. Got really, really sick, so... Avoid.
Oh, no, no, no. No, and my tequila bottle and swirly straw will be locked away in a safe.
Needs to be. And let's see. So you get fired up to watch a debate Sunday, and then you get plugged on Monday.
Well, no, that's the thing. I don't know if I can watch the debate on Sunday.
Well, you can always DVR it or whatever that's called.
I don't have one of those. Are you kidding?
C-SPAN will probably roll it over and over and over again. You'll get to see it.
Maybe you know. Maybe while I'm still in a drug induced haze, maybe I can handle it then.
Because so who else we got here?
Because I want to make a quick observation. Because I'm hopelessly paranoid. I think I figured out why the story about Trump and his filthy mouth and his, you know, woman groping and, you know, yeah, I took her to buy some furniture, you know, because I'm a classy guy. I think I know why that broke today. Because they want to see if the Clinton team will take the bait and bring it up. Because if she does that, then Trump will bring up Bill. And then we will have a full-on bill fight, a philander fest. And, you know, the for-profit media doesn't give a tinker's damn about the well-being of this nation. They just want to sell ads. And if there's a possibility of this turning into a real poo-flinging shitstorm... Well, the last debate, they were charging rates that the same kind of rates they charge for the fucking Super Bowl before and after.
That's a good point, Bob, and I never even thought of that angle. I mean, it seems like there's method to everything that goes down.
Well, all you have to do is just, you know, think like someone who has no morals, no ethics, no conscience, and is concerned only with money, and boom, you're a for-profit media executive. And by the way, the challenge just went down to, courtesy of Ralphs, the challenge just went down to $140, so $140 to go. Thank you very kindly, Ralphs. Thank you very, very much. Regarding U-Turn, note coming in from Ray. I loved U-Turn. Red Rock West is a great version of the same movie. Exact same plot with Nick Cage and Dennis Hopper. Huh. Didn't know about that. I think, every month I check out, there's different places that put up articles about... what movies are running on the streaming services. This is a very good... For one movie and one movie only, this is a very good month to have Amazon Prime. Chinatown.
There's also another movie called Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia that's loosely based on U-Turn. So they kind of folded all these elements into one.
Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia predates U-Turn.
Yes, it does. It does. But that they kind of... took from that a bit. If I don't know if you've ever seen it or not, but that's a brutal movie too.
But no, I think maybe after the program tonight, Agnes and I are going to settle in and watch Chinatown.
There you go.
And of course, I keep clips on hand. I keep Chinatown clips on hand just because, you know. And there are two that I love. This one from Jack Nicholson is the perfect expression of predatory of you know, well, just imagine asking this of Donald Trump or any other predatory capitalist.
Why are you doing it? How much better can you eat? What can you buy that you can't already afford?
So there's that. Then there is this pronouncement from John Houston, the venerable John Houston, who did such a magnificent job in the supporting role in the film. Think of him in light of the Nick Nolte character.
Politicians, ugly buildings, and whores all get respectable if they last long enough.
I can see the
And
parallel.
With Trump, you get all three in one. It's three anus mouths in one. Hey, Snork is with us this evening. Hey, Snork, how you doing?
had to reach for the unmute button.
The blue button.
Yeah, I should have known it was blue, but all of a sudden it was gone, and it's sitting over in the corner gray. I actually went to the location where the actual water wars were fought in the early part of the last century that the movie Chinatown is about. And that area is still kind of devastated by the drought.
Wouldn't be surprised.
And it's, well, it's a reservoir, and around the reservoir they they have a national poppy reserve. And for that poppy reserve, when I was there, it looked like it had a fire go through it. The drought was so bad. All of the vegetation, any direction you could see, was so dry that it looked like it had been on fire.
Wow. And, of course, there's a certain amount of reality behind the plot of Chinatown, too. And in an era where we're, at least some of us are figuring out more and more the critical importance of potable water, you know, I think it's worth a watch. And if you've never seen Chinatown, oh my God.
I actually haven't seen the entire thing, and now I want to go back and see it. It really hasn't been that many months since I was down there looking at a possibility of building a facility that would raise be a farm in the desert that makes its own water. And, of course, we can't really stop the process. So we actually went into that poppy reserve and asked the people that were there if we could dump our excess water into the reservoir. And they were very shocked when we started asking questions. As the farm if it gets built, is going to be directly beside the National Poppy Reserve.
Oh, wow. You know, I was thinking about something in regard to Hurricane Matthew and you having the engineering and scientific technical expertise that you have, Snork. Because sometimes I like to pretend I'm an alien. Looking in on, just popping by to look in on planet Earth every once in a while. Somebody folds space and we just sort of hover, far enough away not to be shot at or, you know, really noticed. Some of this was brought on because there's some kind of weird stuff. There was some weird stuff in the sky the last couple of nights. I don't go in for a lot of UFO stuff, but some stuff you look up and you go, you know, that's just weird. And this stuff is weird. And it pops up every so often. But
the
actual
UFO story behind Roswell is absolutely hilarious. But
let me put a bow on this real quick. I got to thinking, if I was an alien taking a peep at Earth right now, and I saw, and this part got sort of generated by seeing a photograph of Matthew from space. Because it's freaking huge. Imagine being an alien and looking in and thinking, you know, those Earthlings are getting pretty good at engineering their climate so as to create more hurricanes. You reckon they worship those as gods? So they want bigger ones? What's the purpose behind that? Are they trying to evolve into being sea creatures like the humpback whales and the orcas and the dolphins? We watched when they evolved from wolves. But
I think of it as something completely different. I think of us as trying to compete with Jupiter and showing that we can build a big hurricane too.
But I thought about that as well, Snork, because in terms of comparative size, now, Jupiter is, of course, massively larger than the Earth, but Hurricane Matthew and a couple of these super typhoons that have formed up lately actually take up more space on the planet than the red dot does on Jupiter. I'm not saying it's bigger than the red dot. I'm saying as a function of percentage of overall planetary space.
And I haven't checked the map today. What about Hurricane Nicole? Normally a hurricane, when it starts going north, soon afterwards, it starts turning and going east. However, Matthew was so large, it halted Nicole off to the east of it, and was just sitting there stagnant for an entire day, being sucked.
Yeah, Nicole had to park.
And that was caused by the attraction of Matthew. Now, Matthew, as it turns to swing around, will the two merge and form a super depression, especially if it merges with the depression that is pulsing across probably from Ohio to Kentucky today.
And have you ever seen one do a complete U-turn like this one did, Snork?
Yes. Masses have inertia, and they have all the properties of a physical object. And think about all of the storms going around the Earth as one great big foosball, or not foosball, air hockey table. And all of the storms are like air hockey pucks with magnets on them. Lows will suck toward each other.
I've been told to think of it as an analogy as a ping pong ball in a bathtub full of water, too, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, well, it is a fluid.
But Nicole has weakened to tropical storm status and is expected to peter out over the next couple of days.
But it'll still remain as a depression, which is still an area that will affect a hurricane. And if it combines, will strengthen a hurricane.
Exactly, and Matthew is anticipated to peter out as a depression too. That's what they're saying now, but it's worth keeping an eye on.
But if it pinball bounces back out into the Atlantic instead of just going straight up into South Carolina and North Carolina, then the Nicole effect might be kind of interesting.
And the news people were so distracted by these storms out in the East Coast, they weren't paying any attention at all to massive signals called TBS on the radars up in the Midwest.
Snork, may I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we'll ever have the technology, probably not in our lifetimes, maybe not in our generations, future generations, to manipulate these things, though, these hurricanes? I've given this a lot of thought. I mean, nuking them seems out of the question, but couldn't you drag a big iceberg under them or something just to die them out? I mean,
well, you're close, but yep. It's not as far fetched as what we could imagine. If we look at what we've done with computers in the last 20 years, I could see us doing something that would be able to cover it possibly in 25 years.
But then again, you don't necessarily. I mean, we're scared of hurricanes, and hurricanes do lots of damage. But are they not an organic part of the operation of the planet?
Yes, we're beyond what the textbook can tell us what's happening. The problem, we know what we would need to do to control, start, or stop a hurricane, and. We don't know what the ramifications would be if we did.
Well, I mean, imagine India without the monsoon. And, of course, the monsoon's been all screwed up in the Indian subcontinent of late.
If we play around with the current and the heat cycles that are going on in the Caribbean, we could stop the Mid-Atlantic conveyor. That would not be a very good thing for Europe. They probably want to kill us just for doing that.
But then again, you're in uncharted waters. It'd be the equivalent of taking all our spent fuel rods that we're just burying for 10,000 years and launching them up into space. Let's just see what the hell happens, you know?
I wish we were just messing around with our spent fuel rods, but Russia has as many as we do. And they do dump theirs in the ocean. And a lot of American companies have dumped their nuclear waste in the oceans. Company I was at dumped americium, plutonium, uranium, radium in the Marianas Trench.
Well, don't we bury ours deep out in Nevada somewhere in a cave, or am I misinformed in that?
It's, There was a pilot plant that was attempted to do it in a cave. However, this material generates heat for millennia, multiple millennia, many millennia. They put it into, well, they used to mix up the, I'm sorry, am I boring you guys?
No, go.
No. I'm intrigued. Please go.
They used to use a process called vitrification, where they would basically make nuclear Kool-Aid out of glass. You heat up the glass really high, and you make your nuclear waste that you want to get rid of as a powder, and you slowly add it in, because some of the lesser radioactive materials like uranium and plutonium, you can mix in at higher rates. But the more radioactive, the more violent stuff like americium and curium have to be put in very tiny amounts for a whole lot of glass. But they would fill these glass, they'd fill barrels full of glass that was radioactive and try tucking that away. And they thought that if it was in glass that it would last forever. But there's a problem with nuclear. It is that nuclear waste does not stay the same element. When it gives off its radiation, it turns into something else. And it can ping-pong around between being a solid or a gas. And when things go into becoming a gas, they give off all kinds of pressure. When a whole bunch of these happen in an area, they do what's called spalling. Where, have you ever noticed how glass never fractures straight? It always has a curve?
Correct.
It's called conchoidal fracture. And this is what's happening in all this glass, is it's cracking in all these multiple. That glass wants to go down to being just one little tiny grain, and one atom or one molecule if it can be. So basically what they tried to do, thinking that it would last forever, and thinking that, you know, we've got this under control, that even in 4 to 12 years, the vitrified barrels were turning to dust. Another place where this happened is called Chernobyl, where they went in and they put concrete all around the building, and the radiation, especially alpha particles, hitting the walls, started spalling all the concrete and turning the dust all around the reactor and the sarcophagus into this dust mix that had suspended in it extremely volatile particles. And the big concern there was if the sarcophagus were to collapse, it would squirt the dust out like putting talcum powder in a balloon out and aerosolize into the atmosphere. And again, there's a lot of things that are much nastier than plutonium, even though the myth continues on that plutonium is the bad guy. Chernobyl has those other things. And so does Fukushima. I'm sorry, I got us off track, didn't I?
No, it's okay. It's okay.
No, I don't think you got us off track at all.
It's okay. Fascinating.
I mean,
the problem is that Russia takes theirs up one of their northern ports, north of Siberia, near the North Pole. And any submarine that's had a nuclear accident, 18 of their nuclear reactors that have had failures, they just tug the whole thing up there and dump it in the ocean.
Because, I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. No, and they don't do a Marianas Trench like ours did. And the company I was at would vitrify and then put the barrels down under the Marianas Trench.
Yeah, they're gonna love it. You know, we're gonna love it in a couple of centuries if there's any of them left. When polar bears evolve into giant, glowing, 300-foot bipolar bears.
Yeah. When some of these materials were discovered, at least two of them, and the reason why they have these passive names and stuff after. The discovery of plutonium. They discovered that plutonium, when they radiated other things, and radiation would bounce around like a pinball machine, that it created another element called americium. But back then, they didn't tell anybody else that they discovered americium. It was a Manhattan Project secret. While it was a Manhattan Project secret, they named it. But they named it pandemonium because it's so bad compared to plutonium. You know, 1/100 the amount of plutonium can have the same effect. And it was so bad that they could not think of a way to control it long enough to make the explosion only happen when they wanted to. That's why they didn't use americium for the bomb and used plutonium. And then the one that makes americium look like it's silly putty is curium. And curium was originally called delirium because it was so unbelievably unstable.
Just like launching nuclear waste up into space, what could possibly go wrong there?
The shuttle Challenger, not Challenger, no. Columbia. When Columbia went down, it had on board a nuclear reactor powered by americium. They used americium because weight is important in the space shuttle. And a little teeny nuclear reactor running on americium can do what a great big nuclear reactor running on plutonium can do. And they put all the warnings out that there's a chemical that may have been lost with the shuttle, and they were worried about it because they had this 2-ton cylinder from that reactor that they could not find anywhere in Texas. And they were doing all kinds of stories, cover stories, that if you came across this this lost piece, that you could get burned really bad. They didn't happen to say it was radiation burns, but if it had been cracked open, it could have been bad. If it cracked open in the atmosphere during reentry, it would have been very, very bad. When the shuttle came down, and a lot of, if I shift topics a bit, an aircraft Please. Going through the atmosphere has a dynamic range, is what it's called, where at 17,000 miles an hour, 1/100 of a degree off course puts too much force on the tail of the airplane. And it's enough to rip it to shreds, even worse than if it got hit by a rocket. The shuttle, just having that little hole in one wing, was, you know, ended up just taking it off course to the point where it could just whip the thing around and take the entire part of its plane out of its dynamic range and throw the pieces all over the place.
Let me interrupt for a minute because over on the stress line, I think we've got Todd and he's kind of checking in from ground zero. Are you there, Todd?
Hey, can you hear me?
I got you.
Good. Yeah, it's really wet. So it's going to supposed to be raining from now until maybe Sunday. And I would like to jump in on the Skype line if I could possibly.
Oh, you're welcome to, man. Just send a contact request to Sparky Dunk.
I'm rich. I have to be honest. I'm a real novice. I had to reinstall the Skype, so the Skype is working on my phone now. So I'm still getting familiar with it. So I don't know exactly what to do from this point.
Well, you have to. I'm not so sure about the phone interface. But you're going to have to find how to find someone. So do a search for Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, and then send a contact request.
Or is it Bob, dunk like dunk as in like dunking a person? D-U-N-K?
No, D-U-N-C.
Oh, okay.
SparkyDunc. You were going to say
Bob,
something though, Sparky?
Okay.
Yeah, Sparky, go.
If he can message you his name, his Skype name, I can find him.
Okay, yeah, because you know what? I don't even remember how it's going to come up. I don't know if it's going to come up as Todd or Dogman or what. I'm not sure. But, okay, I'll try to.
I need your Skype name or I can't find you.
Okay, let's see. Let me open up Skype. Yeah, and I'm not trying to hold up the program. Oh, boy.
Can you message Bob the name?
No, he doesn't really know what his Skype name is. That's.
Oh, okay. Well, when he finds it, he can message you, and you can give it to me. Or something.
Isn't his name, as soon as he opens up the app or whatever, he signs in, doesn't that show him his Skype name?
Tracy, not always.
Hi, Tracy.
Hey, hon. How you doing? Don't feel bad because I still haven't been able to figure out Skype. I just get lucky every so often that I sign on and people find me. So, yeah.
If you can't, and see, this is, I've only used it when I had a tent job at a newspaper and I had to Skype with people in India, and that was different than the interface on the iPhone. So, okay. Well, you know what? I'll try it and look for me or whatever. If not, you know. But anyway, everything's okay here. This is really wet. And I'm going to try to do what I can do because you were talking about some interesting things, and I'm going to be listening.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Right. I hope we see you in the Skype group.
Oh, wait. You can always go on to Skype and say you forgot your username and your password, and then they'll send it. You could just reset it that way, and then they'll send you your username and your email.
If you click on your name at the top of the Skype page, it should show your account. And under your real name, it should have your Skype name.
Yeah, because I used all my real information. I didn't try to use any nomikers or anything like that. So, okay. Well, this shouldn't get too difficult. I'll figure it out. Okay. You guys, I don't want to hold you guys up. So,
all right. Sounds good, Todd.
Okay.
All right. See ya. I just wanted to make sure we checked in with Todd because, you know, yeah, I think everything here is wet is probably an understatement.
Bob. Yeah, I just went to my old headphones. They worked better. My Bluetooth didn't work with the new phone. It's the first time I've tried it. So, hey, greetings from wet Florida.
Soggy even?
Yeah. I got out before I was too pruny.
Pruny. Scott, how you doing, man?
Good. It was quite the day. I was up at 2 a.m., and the eye didn't go by here till about 7:30, and it went by. It passed 15 miles east of me. We had some pretty ferocious wind here.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe somebody should have taken Matt Drudge down and lashed him, maybe lashed him to a palm tree. So he could determine whether or not the winds were 100 miles an hour or 125.
Yeah, well, you couldn't even walk outside. It just was opening the door to go outside was dangerous because it you almost can't get it closed again. I did that once. I said, "Oh, I'll just step out and see how this is," and. almost couldn't get the door closed.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fierce.
That's amazing.
And
there's no climate change.
And the rain was sideways. And it sounded like something. They sounded like they were throwing, you know, three-quarter stone at the side of the house. It just was constant.
And there are places where tonight you're going to have high tide at 1 a.m.,
yeah,
and a 6, 7, 8 foot storm surge.
Yeah, that's going to be special. Well, Kennedy Space Center, Cape there was underwater. All those places where you know you see the shuttle rolling out, it's level to within it's like a 1/10,000th of an inch over 2 miles, and. Once it gets wet, it gets very, very wet. There's nothing to stop it.
Yeah, and one of the things I read earlier today is that the Kennedy Center is only engineered for Cat 3 hurricanes.
That's what they did. Yeah, they built everything to Cat 3. That's the building code because we don't get Cat 4s.
ever. Never.
And never had a Cat 5. Well, we've had three since I've been here 7 years. We've had three go by.
I'm wondering.
We haven't been hit by one since I've been here.
I don't know how busy he is. I imagine very. But if it's at all possible, I would like to hear in from Jay Cruzen, just to make sure he's okay, because you know, and he's out in the shit just about every time it rains, but. He would probably have.
Imagine he's staying inside his bucket truck if it's too windy.
Yeah, exactly. Check in, Jay Cruz, and if you're listening, just let us know you're okay. Okay, buddy?
Yeah, I didn't have too much damage. Lots of branches and things from all over the place. Had one bottle brush tree that uprooted, which I think I can get put back in the ground, and I'll have to see if I can finagle the guys with the bucket truck, stand it back up, put it in the hole. So,
hey, let's check in with Tracy real quick. She's been patiently waiting. What's happening, Tracy?
Not much. Sorry, I have food in my mouth. I just picked up Kimba for getting her lady parts fixed.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that last week.
Yeah. And I love it when they say, "Oh, she's gonna be so calm when you pick her up." she comes charging from the back like, "Mommy, mommy, 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 mommy." So yeah, there's no calming her down, other than the Thorazine dart. That's about as close as I'm ever gonna get to calming her down. But yeah, don't you love her little snazzy cone?
Yeah, she's fashionable.
Well, she's already trying to take it off. So they're like, so how long do we have to keep this on? They said about 10 to, you know, anywhere between 10 and 14 days. And I looked at the vet tech, like, have you met my dog? She's chewed through two harnesses, two leashes. She knows how to open the screen door. And you're telling me that you think this is going to stay on for 10 to 14 days? Yeah, right. Not going to happen. This is going to be, the next couple of weeks are going to be fun, 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 fun.
No kidding.
I'm sorry. People are trying to kill me and my dog. I'm just trying to get home. And of course, I live in LA, so nobody's courteous. So yeah, but other than that, everything is great.
Yeah, they're hell out there on the 6 and 7 8s.
Well, actually, I'm just on surface streets. So that's, you know, that's the thing.
Oh, you're no. You're on the mean streets.
I'm on the mean streets, exactly. It's, you know, I thought about you the other day when I had to go to the emergency room because of whatever was happening with my neck and my shoulder. And I thought about what you were talking about, how what you guys went through, what your daughter went through when she had to go to the emergency room. And I'm like, okay, so I got in because I had, you know, I said I had a stiff neck and I had brain surgery. They got me right in pretty quickly. But they gave me everything I needed. I was in and out, and I'm thinking, you know, wow, what a difference. Another reason why I won't leave California. There's hospitals on every corner. Not every corner, but, you know, it's just the quality of care. But this, what also alarmed me is how easy it was for me to get drugs.
Because, well, you know, I reckon a lot easier than it is here.
Yeah, I mean, granted, I have a history, and I did go to, I was going to go to the emergency room closer to my house, but then I'm like, well, you know what, I should go to the emergency room of the hospital where I had brain surgery, so at least they would have my records. But, you know, I told them what was wrong, and I'm still in pain, but it feels a whole lot better than it did. But while I was there, as soon as I got, they took me to the back, the first thing they did was hook me up to the morphine, so I got a morphine drip. And then some other drugs and stuff like that. I left with a prescription for, I have Flexeril and, like I said,
Hydrocodone.
Yeah. That's what I texted you. It's like, is that hillbilly heroin? You know, cause
it's
like,
all,
you know,
hillbilly heroin now.
So like I said, I am official. If you've heard anything about Trey Crowder, I'm now officially a pillbilly. I wear that label proudly. But it still hurts like the dickens. I think I might have to watch, you know, I have an appointment to see my regular doctor on Monday, but
in order to be a true pillbilly, you have to add to that, Tracy. I mean, you know, just like maybe if you're at a convenience store and they got that that little cup there with the stray pennies in it to make up, you have to just grab one of those pennies and take it, because then you can say, I'm on pills and I'm stealing copper.
That's awesome. I'm on pills. And that, yep. So, yeah, we could do that. Well, now that I said my piece, I'm gonna put you guys back on mute so you won't hear me screaming. Like I told you that my shoulder, my neck is hurting. And, of course, Kimba has nowhere near calmed down. And I got to figure out how to get all 53 pounds of her in the house without her ripping out my arm out of the socket. So,
or her stitches.
Or her stitches. That's most important. I can, you know, mommy can always have surgery. We do not want to rip those stitches open. So on that note, I will be back. So I will be listening on. I will have you guys on mute to listen to the frivolity and the shenanigans and hijinks.
All right. Drive carefully, Tracy.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
And there from the from over in the far reaches and recesses of FYINation.com is Tom. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Bob. How are you? Well, I know how you are, but...
Hey, shut up. Yeah.
I wanted to thank you for your email reply that you replied to me a little while ago. One is very, very much appreciated. And I woke up to you talking about what you were talking about because I finally got some sleep. I'm a little like Jules and the sleep end. And I've been through surgery, as you know. Just don't do anything and milk it for all it's worth. Just milk it.
Yeah, but I got an offer of a have a show on me on the table if I can just drag my loopy ass in here and do a program Monday.
Well, then in that case, milk it anyway. I would suggest if you're going to do it that way, then I would say do the show. But do it like how you're doing right now, Friday on the front porch for 3 hours. I'm sure everybody'd love that. Like a Monday on the front porch.
And I could just kind of sit back and go, what? Huh?
Yeah, and we could poke fun.
Oh, cool.
we could find our own subjects to talk about.
Yeah.
That's never happened before.
I've got one in my stack.
I'm just giving a suggestion, throwing it out there, you know, like dirty pool. You know, it's entirely up to you, of course, but that might be a way to do it. And but if not, I would say.
Well, if I tell Agnes there's a have a show on me on the table, she'll be like, get your ass in there.
All right, well, then have a show on you, and let the Friday on the Front Porch people do the show. I'm sure everybody would love to participate who can, and it would help you out immensely, and then you could still milk it for all it's worth.
And every now and then, I just open the mic and go, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
As an old radio hand from way back, I can get my chair, whip, and gun and kind of be the general overseer, you know, leaning on my shovel as the inmates take over the asylum, sort of your backup.
Yeah, but I'll still have the lightsaber.
Yeah, yeah. No, nobody.
Well,
nobody,
yeah, we're not.
Nobody gets Sparky's lightsaber.
No, hell no. I mean, you're the chief lightsaber wielder in charge, Sparky. We all know that. We concede that gratefully.
Yeah, I'm a little afraid of you, man. And I'm not kidding either. I think that would be a.
Well,
great
look
idea.
At my avatar. How can you be afraid of a refrigerator?
Hey, you get one falling on your head, you're done. You know.
Refrigerators keep falling on my head.
That's a mini fridge, and it's on the most sturdiest workbench you could ever find in the West Coast.
Look, I am short. I am 5'3". I can find a way to make it hurt me. After waking up to a Charlie horse, I am sure I can find a way for something to hurt me today. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Did you just wake up, Thomas?
Yeah, I woke up about a half hour ago.
Okay, you sound, I don't take this the wrong way, but you sound rather butch when you first awakened in terms of your voice and stuff.
I sound butch. Better than anyway. A drunk scene, because that's what I've been called by a Trump supporter. And by the way, I wear that with pride. Because I do that well,
Thomas. That garbled. What were you called by a Trump supporter?
A drunk lesbian with a lisp.
Well, damn! Don't tell Trump about that. He's liable to.
I know, right?
Yeah, he's liable to try to just come up and kiss you right on the mouth, because that's what he does. Just goes up and kisses people right on the mouth.
I do not want that orange tangerine lip anywhere near me. I will totally turn straight.
Although that might be a grand opportunity to actually have a one-on-one meeting with Trump. We might think it through. We might even be able to see him become so befuddled his head explodes like a pumpkin a month and a half after Halloween.
Simply
because he wouldn't know where to grab you. You know?
Do you dislike me that much? What did I ever do to you?
No, hey, you got to take one for the team every now and again, Thomas. Now, come on.
You people.
That's not taking one for the team. That's taking one for the entire country. And you know what? If I'm going to do that, I want at least some of the money Russia's giving him.
God damn it. You want a prenup.
Right?
Scott.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing, brother?
I'm all right for an old fool.
Good to hear from you.
Listen, Bob, you were talking about the movie Chinatown, which is one of my favorites, earlier. There's a documentary that was on PBS back in the mid-90s that touches upon the real-life events tied up with the water wars in California years ago. And it's on YouTube if anybody wants to check it out. It's quite good. And it holds up well even after 20 years. It's called Cadillac Desert. It's based on a book of the same name, but you can find it on YouTube, and it's quite good. It goes on for like four solid parts, and all of them are put together on one link on YouTube, except they're short segments. But it's worth your time if anybody wants to check it out. Cadillac Desert.
Hey, Scott, there's one on Frontline called The Decision. Have you seen that yet? It just came out a couple of weeks ago.
Is that the one where they look at Trump and Clinton?
And they really expose, especially Agent Orange, for who he is, man. Highly recommended.
I saw that the other night. Actually, they have one for 2012. They have one for 2008. They do that apparently every 4 years, and it's really quite good. They try to stay as balanced neutral as they can. Yeah.
But I highly recommend that, and it's free as long as you got their app. I mean, it won't cost you a penny, and it's worth a watch, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like PBS. It's a good source of programming, because I cut back way back on my cable and stuff several months ago, and I don't know. I would probably be catatonic at this point if I had kept CNN and MSNBC. I would just be sitting here dribbling food down my hairy chin.
God, your eyes would be glazed over, and especially if you had that in Washington Journal to depend on.
Oh, God.
Just get yourself committed, you know?
Don't get me started on Washington Journal.
I won't.
Oh, Bunky says hi, by the way, to everybody.
Well, hello, Bunky.
You guys want to take a run at my subject?
Sure. Throw it out there, Duncan.
Hang on 1 second here. I got Todd figured something out here. Okay, so he should be in the group now or shortly.
Oh, cool.
As soon as I hit the right button.
Just had a note from Jen in Australia. She said, I just woke up too. I mean, no coffee, no cold water. I have no idea what the conversation has been thus far. But, oh my fucking God, why is that faux campaign not over? What will it take? He can say the things he says. Grab him by the pussy. Do you remember what they said about the Obamas? Barack wasn't presidential because he put rocket on his... on his sandwich and used poupon mustard was disqualifying. Oh my fucking God, I need coffee. Yeah, no, I get that, but I cannot reiterate strongly enough. There is nothing, okay? And by nothing, I mean the kind of nothing that Snork understands. Mathematical nothing, absolute nothing, scientific nothing, string theory, physics, fucking nothing that will keep a Trumpansy from voting for Trump. And 40% of this country is composed of goddamn Trumpansies or more. Now, you take that 40% and you add to it, some people who are, Gary Johnson's a fucking boob. I'm going to go vote for Trump. You add that in, and then you add in the sparkle farting unicorn cavalry, and you get pretty close to disaster real quick.
Hey, Bob.
See?
Speaking of Trump, I just happened to have on the TV in the background with the sound down the local 5 o'clock news from the NBC station, and I glanced up to see Trump's official statement in response to his comment that was revealed today about I'll grab him by the P word. And here's what the official statement is.
You know, that's got to hurt, by the way. Sorry.
according to the Trump-Pence campaign, this is Donald Trump's statement. This was locker room banter, a private conversation that took place many years ago. Bill Clinton has said far worse to me on the golf course, not even close. I apologize if anyone was offended. And it's the same, it's the usual standard non-denial denial or non-apology apology stuff that we get from Trump. And all of his minions out there, his spokespeople and his political voting supporters, we'll see absolutely no issue with A, what he did, or B, his comment official today about what he did. You know, the man is Teflon. DuPont got the idea from Teflon from some sort of chemistry analysis of Trump's makeup or something many, many moons ago. Trump is alien technology.
Look, let's make it easy, Scott. He's a sick fucker, and 40% of America are sick fuckers, too.
Oh, shit.
And sick fuckers vote for sick fuckers. And you know what?
Yeah.
I'm not backing away anymore. I am absolutely all freaking in with Hillary Clinton and the basket of deplorables. It's an inartful expression. I prefer sick fuckers, but I am right there.
Yup.
Amen. Keep preaching.
And I would add to sick fuckers just one other description. They are sick, uninformed fuckers. And that's the key. That's the key to his success. You got to be sick, and you got to be uninformed or misinformed.
Time out. Hang on, Scott. Hang on. Pushing back. They're not uninformed. They know every goddamn rotten thing this putrid bastard has ever done, and they're okay with it. They're plenty well informed. They like the fact that he grabs women by the pussy. They like that he
feels, well, you know, I'm a celebrity. I can just go up and kiss people, and they'll let you do that. Because they wish they could, too. Because they're Trumpanzees.
Bob, can I interject here as...
Wait, one minute. Todd?
Hey, Sparky, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. You're rumbling around with something.
Oh, yeah, that, you know what?
You have to learn how to mute your microphone when you're not talking.
I do. I'm brand new to this. I do. Okay, I'm going to mute my mic because I don't want to step on anybody's parade. And, Bob, if you hear me, you are on point. Okay. I'm going to cut my mic down, figure out. Okay. All right.
Okay. And just by way of agreement before we go to you, Thomas, note from Jennifer in Australia. No, Graham says Trump could shit and hand out spoons and they'd line up for it. And that's just true.
Absolutely. Bob, as a former conservative, and I'm sorry, I feel the need to apologize every time I admit that. This is what the Republicans have been selling since day one, that if you pull yourself up by your bootstraps with your daddy's $1 million loan, you too can be the biggest, brashest Gordon Gekko orange bastard that there is. And now we have the manifestation of it. I've been saying it on Some Say for months now. I am so tired of people acting as if he's not an establishment Republican. I'm so tired of the people acting as if he's not a Republican. He is what the Republican Party sells. He is their marketing device. He is a Republican, and I hope Hillary creams his clock. And if she doesn't, we're doomed. And if people want to hate me for it, doubtingtom at fyination.com. And, you know, Jill Stein voters, vote your conscience. Have fun in Gitmo. That's all I got.
Don't hate you at all, friend. I'm right behind you 100%.
Quit telling people how to vote, goddammit!
I'm voting for Gitmo. Vote for Gitmo.
Hey, you know what? I had a moment a couple of days ago on Facebook, and I never went back to see if it caused a hissy or anything. But over on Bernie for America 2016, somebody posted this long, you know, like, oh, dude, I'm voting for Jill, you know, because, like, lesser evils and all that horse shit, and fuck all you people who are going to lose your health care, you know, because purity. And I just typed into the box, dude, quit telling people how to vote, man. It was so nice to put the shoe on the other foot. But see, they can do that. You know, you got to vote for the lesser evil, you know.
So sick of that lesser of evils bullshit.
They get to make that argument. Those of us who are trying to maintain some semblance of, yes, the status quo, wherein the status quo is defined by the whole country not being on fucking fire, you know, no, we got to stop telling people how to goddamn vote.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go, man.
Listen, I was all in for voting for Jill Stein because of where I live, you know, because you have to understand the dynamics of where you live and if your vote matters or not. But this is so crazy, and I think you brought up Alan Lichtman the other night, Bob. See, we don't know where this is going to end. We don't know. There's so many nuances and things that the pollsters are not catching. Nate Silver is great, but we just don't know. We have to play defense. And that's why these undecided folks, I'm like, what the hell is, how can you be undecided? You notice this person is, first of all, he's insane. He's mentally ill, or he has gonorrhea spirochetes or syphilis spirochetes running around in his damn brain. He's racist. I mean, what more do people need to know? I mean, my fucking God.
Yeah, but Todd, that's where we're getting off the track. That's where we're losing our way. You know, you just asked that question, and man, I'm not barking at you, and I'm not correcting or chiding or anything, and I'm not bobsplaining either. But we keep saying, what does it take to make them wake up or see the light or something? They see it. You got to understand everything Donald Trump says,
every obnoxious, filthy fucking bit of bullshit, misogyny, and racism, everything, they agree with it, okay? And the Republicans who say, well, you know, I don't know if I can vote for him, my goodness gracious, you know, they agree with it, too.
What, that's what I'm scared of. I heard you...
That's the America we fucking live in, man.
Well, we're in a bad place, then.
Well, we're in Superior, Arizona.
Bob, can I add something to this?
Then I gotta
run. But I just wanted to thank you for everything. I want to thank you for everything that you do, especially with Friday on the Front Porch. This is an amazing little group that you get together every Friday. I'm honored to get a chance when I can to be a part of it. I love having you as an affiliate, and I really hope that everything goes all right and you get looped and you decide to do whatever you decide to do on Monday for Monday's show. We'll be here to support you 1,000% and fuck Trump. And by the way, Jill Stein voters, you're more selfish than Gary Johnson voters. Now I'm telling you how to fucking vote. Got it?
Got it. Well, got please it. Don't run. Hang out, man. Hang out.
Thomas has work to do.
Yeah, okay. I get it. Okay. Well.
But otherwise I would.
It's coming from a good place.
Yes. Otherwise I would stay a little bit longer. Okay. But I want to thank you. Y'all make my day every Friday when I can't participate. I'm here in some form. I'm like a ghost. I'd like to ask your ass. All right. So thank
you too. You seem like good people. Thank you as well.
I appreciate it. And Snork, watch him. He's my chat moderator over in my and he has a pretty big whip. So watch.
Yeah. And by the way, Thomas, there's as Jennifer reminds me. Remember, there might be an election night horn group huddle.
I may be there. Before I forget, Bob, you know this, and I hope you don't mind me doing this. I am the biggest fan of Halloween that there ever is. I am like the Roseanne Barr style fan of Halloween. Usually we do a spooktacular. We're not doing that this year. This year I am doing a Some Say show from 9 a.m. on Sunday because Mischief Night is on Sunday until midnight. Come and join us. You know, we're going to take calls. We're going to do ghost stories. We're going to try and find out if we can contact Phyllis Schlafly and Ronald Reagan. We're going to have a lot of fun. So, and I really hope to see you either listening or there.
You're not going to try to Ouija board up the ghost of Jerry Falwell, are you?
I got the Amen app for that, Bob. I got the Ouija board Amen app. I got it all. I technologically, you know, we're sound here. Not mine, but we're sound. But I just wanted to say that real quick. And again, more importantly, thank you for everything you do. And if you can't give to Bob, please give to Bob.
Yeah,
and
hey, thanks to Cletus, who still loves me. Cletus is not real sure about Karen and Steve right now because, you know, puppy prison. But thanks to Cletus, we're down to $140 to go with the matching challenge that's on the table tonight, which is
awesome.
Pretty huge. Yeah.
That's a great way to leave. And thank you guys for wanting me to stay, but I got some work to do, and I hope you all enjoy it. And I get a long-form interview tonight, so that's going to be fun. So, and you know how much I love those. If you want to check it out, feel free. If not, it'll be in the archives later. And thank you all again for calling me Butch, whoever did that, because that was,
yeah, that,
that,
was, me.
That was Scott. Scott thinks you're Butch.
Scott, that was awesome. And sorry for confusing you with DT, and it's been one of those days.
Yeah, well, Scott is now officially on Thomas's holiday card list.
Yeah, oh, yes, boy. Yes.
It's a very Butch Christmas card, Scott.
Well, I doubt that it'll beat my all-time favorite Christmas card. Lovely vision of the traditional manger on the front. The wise guys and all that, you know, the baby Jesus in the creche and Mary and Joseph and the camels and the sheep. You open it up and the caption says, "What do you mean? It's a girl."
I just hope you like firefighters as much as I do. Anyway, I'm going to head out of here. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, Thomas. Oh, and wait. Okay, so I got one of these for what's about to happen. I got a note from Michael in Madison. How to vote. Please use a blue or black pen to fill in the oval next to the candidate of your choice. Make only one selection for each office. If you make a mistake, please request a new ballot from an election official. Steiniak in the voting booth. Quit telling people how to vote, man!
Hey, my wife got a mailer in the mail today. Tell Hillary Clinton to stop threatening Christians. Anybody want to take a guess who it's from?
Probably Franklin Graham or somebody like that.
From the Faith and Freedom Coalition.
Oh, God.
Somehow she gets on mailing lists of just everything. I mean, she gets some junk
mail.
Okay,
so that's not the American Family Association, and that's not the
no, they're looking
Family
for
Research Council.
They're looking for 10 million people to sign their petition.
Yeah, but how's Hillary persecuting the Christians, being as how she are one?
Well, I'll tell you.
Well, that was part of the setup, Sparky.
If you disagree with Hillary Clinton on gay marriage, abortion on demand, or taxpayer funding for sex change operations, for example, Hillary Clinton will use the force of the IRS, the Justice Department, and other federal agencies to crack down on you hard, such as with big fines and even prison.
Well, you understand that.
I want to join the war on Christians. I'll tell you, I'll enlist.
Yeah, but you understand the dynamic at play with mailings like that. These are people, probably well-meaning people at some level, but these are people who anybody who believes that they're not constitutionally and religiously entitled to have the attitude of your typical two-year-old, which is, I don't want to, and you can't make me, is automatically an enemy of theirs, an anti-Christian, and un-American to boot. They're cattywampus in their thinking, okay?
They even sent a bumper sticker. If anybody wants to buy it, I'll sell it.
Sparky will send
Good
it
luck.
To you. Sparky will send it to you Good. in return for a contribution, right?
Yeah.
Good luck with that. I'm still trying to unload the 1/666th portion of Pope Benedict's Eternal Soul certificate that I've had for several years and can't find a taker. I guess I'm stuck with it.
Hey, Scott.
Yes, sir.
Do you think? Please don't call me sir. My God.
All right. Yes, ma'am.
Well, not today.
Those are the only two gender-based options I can go with. So.
Oh, okay. I know you're trying to be nice. That's all right. I just
all right.
Anyway, so do you think these folks even understand that the people who started this country, they did not want this thing to have anything to do with religion?
No, they have no earthly idea. They believe America is a rock-ribbed, red state, Judeo-Christian nation. They have no concept that Jefferson said good things about Muslims. Or what did he call them, Turks?
He had a Quran. He loved his Quran.
Yeah.
Yeah, Musselman. You know. Musselman. Musselman. Musselman.
Like the applesauce.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a brand of applesauce. Brotherhood with applesauce. Wait a minute. What the hell is this kinkiness?
Hey, Scott, how far are you from Ocean Beach?
Oh, probably a 20-minute bus ride on a good day.
I spent 8 days there, and I didn't even know what it was, man. I got a good ticket. I went out there by myself, and I had a rental car for 8 days for $80.
Oh, God, that must have been a while ago.
It wasn't 10 years. It was 10 years. I'm just, you know, but it was interesting. I'm not trying to sidetrack the conversation, but maybe.
No, Ocean Beach, if anybody ever comes out to San Diego and they're back east or up north in the dead of winter and they want some relief, be sure if you come to San Diego to visit Ocean Beach, because it's like getting into a time machine back to the 60s.
I ate mushrooms on the beach with people I didn't even know. I did. And you can smoke as long as you don't. There's like a wall. And they tell you, the locals are like, just don't go past the wall. Don't go in the street. You know?
Oh, yeah. If you go to Google and look up OB Rag, it's, I think, a weekly or a monthly newspaper. It's not an underground paper, but it may have been at one time. It'll give you a definite feel for Ocean Beach. And if I had the money, I would love to live there because it's a groovy kind of place.
I loved it so much. I priced houses, and I do not understand how people can afford to live there. Literally, this place was a shack. It wasn't even as big as one room in the house I'm living in. And it was $1 million. Block off of the beach.
Yeah.
And maybe we can talk about that some more. I didn't want to sidetrack the conversation, but I've been dying to ask you that because I know you're in SD, San Diego.
Oh, yeah. OB is. Let me tell you, Bob, I don't mean to hijack this, but very quickly, let me tell you how I landed in San Diego. Is that all right?
Go.
All right. Back in 1989, in about August or September, I was working weekends on the radio. And during the week, I was selling automobiles. Meanwhile, my wife at the time worked for a vinyl siding manufacturer. So me being in radio and selling cars and she being in the vinyl siding industry, we had no karma to speak of, okay? So I'm driving home one evening, like 9, 10 o'clock after a long day of selling cars. And out of nowhere, I am hit with double vision. I'm seeing two of everything, okay? So I figure I'm just tired. I get up the next morning. I'm still seeing double. This continues for a couple of days. So I figure my glasses need updating. So I go to the eye doctor, and they say, well, you've got something. I forget what the malady was, but it was a thing that kids get, little kids, and with the right prescription lenses, it eliminates, it compensates for the double vision. It may have been that thing that Hillary had a few years ago. Well, anyway, I got the new glasses, and I was still seeing double, but more clearly, with no scratches or dust on the lenses. So I said, well, that's not the answer. So after about, I don't know, 10 or 15 different specialists and tests and stuff, they did the CAT scan. That didn't show anything. They finally did an MRI and discovered that without lifting a finger, I managed to somehow obtain a walnut-sized tumor on my pituitary gland, okay? They didn't know what it was exactly or how long it had been there or the nature of it. So I go in for surgery, and they get rid of the tumor but leave me with some permanent side effects. Okay, so like 2-3 weeks before the surgery in December of 89, I had occasion with my wife at the time to spend a week in San Diego. At that point, prior to the surgery in a couple of weeks, I had no idea if I even would have a future. But I said, if I do, I want to spend some of it in this place, San Diego, because we left Kansas City that morning on the plane, and it was like 8 degrees above zero. It was like late November, early December. And we get here, get off the plane, come out of the airport, palm trees, blue skies, temperatures in the low to mid-70s, and I almost spasmed erotically right there. I said, my God, where have I been?
We'll be a while getting over that visual, so.
I said, where the hell have I been all my life? And moreover, where the hell has this place been all my life? So I finally managed to figure a way to get out here permanently in 2000. And it is a wonderful, wonderful place. It has its issues, but I'm telling you, man, compared to a lot of places I've lived, up to my ass in snowdrifts and sub-zero temperatures, this place is the cat's pajamas, if you'll don't mind me using an old expression.
Scott, when I got back from vacation and I got back to the university, and when I got back, my office had changed. I used to have an office with my name on the door and secretary and all that. Still had the secretary, but they shifted around our offices. But my coworkers, they said, Todd, you look so relaxed. I mean, it was just good for my soul. I was right on the beach, and the Safeway was right there, a library, a post office. The reason I brought up the car, I didn't have to use the car. I drove one time and went to a strip club, and that was it.
How long ago was this?
2005.
Okay, well,
back when Trump was grabbing the... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you and Bob, stop it, man. He's Arrested Development. Go ahead.
Conceivably, but even back in 2005, ridden our trolley system or our bus system, which for California, for the non-East Coast or Mid-Atlantic states, we have fairly decent public transportation here, and they're going to extend the trolley in the next couple of years, an additional 20 miles. So it'll be up in the neighborhood of something like 75 or 85 miles by the time this extension is done.
No, I'm just saying, I grew up with trolleys, and I'm just saying that if you haven't been there, see, we get it, because you live there. I visited for 8 days. It's so different. It's just the whole... It will change your spirit, you know that you figured it out. It's I'm telling when the old people. I'm a caregiver now, and I've given up. You know, I had a whole different life, but this is what I do now. I take care of the old people. But when they die, I'm selling all this shit, and I'm getting the hell out of here, and I'm going west.
It was like Tracy was telling Bob earlier. It's the difference between living in California and living in West Virginia, though both of those places have great things to recommend them. There is a downside to West Virginia under which we do not suffer out here in California. And that's to say the health care, there is a safety net for vulnerable people out here. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you can't say that about a lot of these red states, virtually all of the red states.
Well, that's a good segue into back into the conversation, because I don't want to dominate the conversation, because and Bob, can't do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you had four. You did three. three is where the trouble is.
I didn't infringe on the copyright. Okay, but yes, Scott, I've been wanting to get that off my chest, and I'll be silent now, and thank you.
Well, if you come out again, let me know, and I'll treat you to one of our organically grown snow cones.
Oh, I will.
Oh, quit it.
Wait a minute.
I'll buy you, made
with shaved artisanal ice. Oh, just off, Scott.
I'll buy you a Sprout sandwich.
Oh my God! Wait a minute. I have to say this. That was the first time I ever had a fish taco. And see, the reason I brought the car again, I had the daggone car. I didn't. Like I said, I didn't even have to drive to the daggone Safeway. I mean, they had a farm. Everything was right in walking distance. And the Becks. I bought cases of Becks every couple of days. They were $18, and I would just share them. There's a lot of homeless people. You know, they live on the they live on the beach. You know, they live in vans and stuff that abut the beach. And, you know, they're nice folks. It's just, you know, whatever. For whatever reason, they're homeless. And, you know, you make friends like that when you give out free bets. But, you know, and you learn about the tunnels. Oh, my God. There's so many tunnels between Mexico and San Diego. And it's interesting because... San Ysidro is like the nearest port to, you know, where you go to Mexico there. But anyway, I didn't drive at all. It wasn't any point because I was just drinking tequila and beer and talking to women.
You're killing me. You're killing me.
I know, Bob. I can feel it, man. I've known you long enough. I can feel it through the phone, Bob. I'm telling you. I know, man. I'm sorry. I didn't have any children. I did not have.
I mean, I have to. I have to like live the life sanitary tonight, tomorrow night, Sunday night.
But you have such a nice partner. You know, I got caught up on my and I didn't get really caught up, but I caught a piece of Dr. O'Brien the other day, and you know, and your wife was asking him some very nice questions. Man, you got a good thing going. You know,
know that?
I'm just saying. So,
Todd, imagine we're both going to get a nice little taste from the San Diego Visitors Bureau after our little infomercial here.
What is not to like, Scott? I'm just saying, what is not to like? The fish tacos. That's what I was about to say. Yeah, because when you're on the beach all day, right? You got your cooler with your beer in it. They're not expensive. They were like $3.54, and it was mahi mahi, and I mean, this is fresh.
You're gonna get on the fighting side of Tracy in a minute, Todd, and she's gonna come on and start talking about them damn shrimp tacos, and I'm just gonna walk away, okay? $140 fundraising hole or not, I'm walking away.
No, you're not, because I'm gonna send you some burgers. I cook burgers in between the rain today because I'm cleaning out the freezer. I'm feeding the neighbors because I know the power's gonna go out. I just had to move the car. It's raining crazy here, and so oh my god! And you know the burgers, they've got the dehydrated onion mix. That's a requisite. You got to do that.
Oh yeah.
Dash of Worcestershire,
mm-hmm.
A little bit of chili powder, a little garlic powder,
a little Tony Sachery's.
Oh yeah! You know what? I'm sorry. I'm addicted to spices. Now I'm in the kitchen. I'm looking at. I have two cabinets full of seasonings. I have a seasoning issue. All right. I'm sorry. But when I see something, I gotta. You know, there's enough money. Man, I'm buying seasoning. But it comes in handy.
In other words, you are powerless over seasonings, and your spice rack has become unmanageable.
Correct. I mean, I need a storage shed for all the. I mean, if I see a new seasoning, I'm sorry. And Scott, you got Trader Joe's out there? Hey, because they're from California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I feel bad now. Two more things and then I'll get off it. Thing number one, if you've spent a long day on the beach being happy as humanly possible, being friendly, enjoying the sand and the sun and the sea, you work up a powerful appetite and nothing hits the spot quite like a fish taco. That's thing number one. Thing number two is this. If you're into spices, go online and look for Arthur Bryant's Barbecue in Kansas City and order you up a bottle of Arthur Bryant's original barbecue sauce. It is the nectar of the gods. If you don't like it, send the unused portion to me, and I'll thank you from the bottom of my little Democratic
heart. Okay, you're talking KC now. You're going to drag Carol Baker into the conversation.
That's what I'm talking about. See, I like the KC. I like that variety of like they have the mustard base here.
I'm back to having dreams about my barbecue joint down in Alabama again. So
I knew you were going to say that. And the slaw.
Yeah, the hot dogs. Yeah.
Oh, Bob.
Well, Arthur Bryant's original barbecue sauce is unlike any other you've ever tried. And I know some, pardon me, some people don't like it, but I just love it. Every now and again, I'll order a bottle, and when I want to feel special, I'll dab a little behind each ear.
That's how I eat my burgers. I really, I'm halfway done. I doubt I'll be 100. So this, I like my burgers. I like cheese. I like to make the burger with a lot of onion on it. You know, I described how I make.
Well, just to rub it in on all of y'all, got a note from Jen in Australia. She says, hey, you just got to try the range of... This is going to drive you crazy, Todd. You just got to try the range of Australian bush seasonings. Native peppers, native dried ground miniature tomato buds, lemon myrtle, etc. Wait, did you catch that? Native diced ground miniature tomato buds.
Damn.
damn.
That's like three magnitudes beyond a sun-dried tomato. That's what that sounds like.
You know? And Jen says, sorry, Scott, I worked at Hoodoo Barbecue in Kenmore Square, Boston. We made the best sauce. I'll share the recipe.
Ooh. Okay, you're on.
But see, I can't imagine. This is just prejudicial of me. I cannot imagine the best barbecue sauce of any being made north of the Mason-Dixie line. Not possible.
Well, Arthur originally was from Texas. Mr. Bryant, the man. Yeah. So he brought the recipe up from where he had been down in Texas. But here's the deal. Barbecue sauce is like a Kansas City was the only place I ever lived. When you're sitting down to breakfast, you're talking about what you're going to have that day for lunch and later for dinner, okay, for supper. And you think there are factions in politics. In Kansas City, there are factions in barbecue joints and barbecue sauces, unlike anything I've ever seen anywhere, okay? But to my palate, Arthur Bryant's original is the best. But if somebody has a recipe for something that they think's better, send it on, and I'll
it all just depends on what you like and how you like it. I mean, there are people out there that like those thick, gooey, sweet, tomato-y-based sauces. Can't do it.
Tangy
and hot.
If you're making burgers, what you need to do is put in all your usual fixings for into the meat, and then add about a quarter to an eighth of a cup of Arthur Bryant's original barbecue sauce and mix it in with the meat, make the patties, cook them up. Oh, God, your little heart will beat like a zebra tap dancing on a fresh plate of lemon jello.
Well, see, one of these days, if we ever get the Kickstarter campaign going, one of the premiums is going to be handmade pints of Bob's barbecue sauce and a reasonable facsimile of that awesome freaking hot slaw. That'll go out as a premium. Can them, seal them, make sure they're all nice, and then just mail them in a flat rate box all over the country.
You know what, Bob? I remember when I was talking about Jane's Crazy Salt, and Tracy and I both use it. And I went to the website because I was looking at the bottle, and you were saying, you saw Jersey. So I went to the website, and guess what?
What?
Turns out a woman in Overbrook is a West Philadelphia neighborhood. So it was invented where I grew up, and I didn't even know it. I didn't have it until I came here. So I guess they package it regionally, you know, the Jane's Crazy Salt, which I have in my hand right now. I'm looking at. But, we can't live without seasoning because we're all foodies. You cannot live without that. You know, come on. We're not here that long. You have to eat good food. You have to eat, right? You got to eat.
Damn straight.
Why eat shitty food? That's what I don't get. And some people, they don't like to cook. But, look.
A lot of times Margie will get off work at Hellmark at like 11, and there is nothing open at 11, and she'll be starved. And it feels like some form of abuse when we go across the street to Sheetz and, you know, get sliders or something. It's just, ugh. And that's not to
say. But, Sheetz. You know, the first time I saw Sheetz was when I was outside of Pittsburgh. They only have them, I'm from Philly, so the western side of the state. They have Sheetz, West Virginia, but they're always clean. I mean, everyone I've been in is really clean.
Everything they serve is either deep fried or microwaved. It's not bad. It's just not good.
Well, you have to doctor it up, as they say, you know, when you get home, maybe. I don't know. But look where you live. West Virginia is damn beautiful. I mean, it really. And I wish they would stop fucking it up. Excuse my language, but damn it.
Yeah, which reminds me, I put this out on Facebook last night, but I want to mention it on the broadcast so that hopefully it'll get more traffic and get more visibility. My good friend Jeff Biggers contacted me last night while everything was going to hell in a handbasket around me. And he showed me something and said, listen, he said, I'll publish this if you think it adds to the conversation. And I wrote back and said, hell yeah, and then just offered a couple of comments of my own. And he wrote back and said, can you give me a couple of quotes? And I said, sure. But if you go over to HuffingtonPost.com and just look up Jeff Biggers, B-I-G-G-E-R-S. He's been on this program a number of times. He's a magnificent writer. He is a cultural historian. And he tries to... This is particularly good. It's called Hillbilly Shuffle. Don't Blame Appalachia for Trump. And he takes the media to task for, this constant drumbeat of, you know, Trump's Appalachia is Trump's base. Trump is tapping into, you know, white disenchantment, blah, 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 blah. And Jeff just deconstructs it and along the way talks about the fact that it's damned well time that we come to some sort of new understanding of Appalachia and actually do something for Appalachia as a country, you know, as sort of payback for everything the country has heretofore done to Appalachia and everything that Appalachia has given to the country. And I really hope people will go and read it and share it on Facebook, tweet it, whatever. It was published last night. Jeff Biggers, HuffingtonPost.com, Hillbilly Shuffle, Don't Blame Appalachia for Trump. Because it's there's some real wisdom in there, and I'm not talking about my quotes. He said,
I have a question.
He said, okay, go ahead, Todd.
No, just really quick. Do your compatriots, your neighbors, the people who live there, do they understand that West Virginia and that region in general where you live is basically a coal colony? Like, it's a colony. Do they understand what that means?
Well, some do, some don't. I mean, some are old enough to... This is a very old... this is an older population state. And... some of the older folks understand that we have been used and abused by the coal industry, but the vast majority thinks that Donald Trump will make the little Keebler, he'll crack the whip over the little Keebler coal elves, and they'll make some more underground, and the coal industry will come back, and that Obama war on coal will be over, and everybody will have a job, and frisbees, and wheat checks, and things will be good. The problem is, it's bullshit. Things weren't good. Things have never been good as long as the coal industry has been here. Things have been better than they are now, but that's a pretty weak metric. We've never had progress here. We've never had prosperity here because people have been dying in agony and misery all along the way. It's you can't say yes or no to that question, Todd. Just because you can't answer a question about everybody. But, you know, there are people who think that Hillary Clinton is just going to perpetuate Obama's war on coal, and that if that hadn't happened, we'd be up to our ass in gardenias. It's not true. But by the same token, some of those people say, and mountaintop removal is the worst thing we ever did. Because they at least recognize that that's where the jobs went. You know, one of the things Jeff Biggers points out in this article is that one of the eastern Kentucky counties, the place where J.D. Vance comes from, lost 70% of its jobs. They didn't lose it to the EPA or tree huggers or Obama. They lost it to mountaintop removal, mechanization. It's a fact. By the way... let me just interrupt for a second. Sparky said he needs to say something about the Horn Facebook page. Go ahead, Sparky.
Yeah, the as people probably know, I'm an administrator of the page. You are, and Betsy is, I think, and I don't know if there's anybody else, but lately I've noticed that when you post something to the Head On Radio, Head On Group Facebook page, we have to approve it. It's something Facebook done now for people. There used to be a tab on the Facebook that said we could approve and approve all everybody's posts from the Hair On in, but something's gone screwy with it. That's all I got to say. So if you don't see your post in their feed or anything from a while, so
yeah, but we're pretty good about jumping and doing that. But the other thing, Sparky, is that don't be offended if you should happen to ask for membership in the Horn group, and someone doesn't right away approve you. Because there's a lot of spam and a lot of Nigerian widows out there trying to help get us to help them. And, oh, Lord. So I at least try to write every time I see a request come through, I write in and say, you know, you're a listener to the program. And then if you say, yes, I am, you know, blah, 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 you get in. But I think we have to do that much gatekeeping just to keep the Rolex ads out of the Horn page.
And the sunglass ads.
That's what I meant. Ray-Ban, not Rolex.
That's all I had to say.
Okay.
Well, Bob, we started this thing with movies. Why don't we end it with it? What do you say?
Well, we only got 15 minutes to go.
Right.
I am going to say that you and Ralphs are the only ones you and Ralphs and Gerald are the only ones jumping in on fundraising this evening. And so we're kind of in a tough way. We're going to, if I'm on the air Monday night, we're going to be on the air Monday night in one whopping gobsmack of a hole.
Don't do it, Bob.
But we got $140 to go this evening to meet the matching challenges that were on the table, and that still leaves a couple of $100 even beyond. So, you know, maybe the anesthesia will wear off and I'll feel fine, and if it does, I'll be on the air.
Yeah, that's possible, and that's very possible, but you don't know. It affects everybody differently. According to your body weight, your metabolism, you got all these X factors that come into play on this. So, but just don't put your health in jeopardy for this thing. You know, good God, man, you're a national treasure. We need you around, man. I'm not being patronizing either. I'm just from the heart.
National treasure. Does that mean I'm going to live in a paddock and somebody's going to?
I don't bring know. International, national, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
No, that
Are
was
you
national. That was
Nicholas Cage.
I'm sorry. That was that was National Velvet. Oh yeah, that's it. I'm a national treasure. I live in the sewers of Washington D.C. somewhere.
No, we need your voice. That's what I'm saying, man. We started out with movies, so I want to just close up with one. Have you ever seen History of the World with Mel Brooks, Bob?
Oh, God, yeah, sure.
That is a classic. And whatever happened to Hitler on Ice?
That needs to come back. Who's talking?
This is Steve from Georgia Stan.
Steve, yeah. You know what? That I remember seeing that as a teenager. That, you know, Mel
that
Brooks...
Is, oh my God, he was so ahead of his time. That thing was so funny with Battle of Khan and B. Arthur. I mean, they're all dead now, except for Mel. Just about everybody's gone. But
Mel and Khan was hot. She was hot and smart
was, huh?
And pretty. Yep.
Yes.
It's true. It's true. One more Schnitzelgruben?
Oh, man, but yeah.
Baby, I'm not from Havana.
That was so sexy.
Gregory Hines, the Ethiopian Shim Sham, you know? And Roman Red. I mean, I laughed till I nearly peed my pants watching that thing, you
see,
know?
See, Donald Trump would look good in that movie because he's a caricature anyway. He could fit him in there somewhere with his stupid ass. Oh, my God.
But, yeah, I thought we started out with a really downer movie. I thought
Piss Boy.
The Piss Boy. Yeah, that was Harvey Korman, wasn't it, Bob?
Yeah, I think.
Was that Harvey Korman? Or?
Yeah, and we started out this evening with a Blazing Saddles reference, courtesy of Brother Deacon Asa, too.
You look like the Piss Boy, or you look like a bucket of shit, you know?
Classic. I hate to say, because Brother Deacon Asa started out this evening. I hate to see you this way, Mr. Kincaid. How's about me and the boys shoot that frontier dead?
but that's all I got. I just thought we would end it on a movie reference. Bob, I appreciate you. You got my number. Reach out to me if you need anything. Okay,
I will. And I'm proud to say, courtesy of Mike in Cascadia, We're now down to $115 to go on the matching challenges. So, and again, thanks to Thomas Jugapunch and Chris in Germany and Bob for making those challenges.
And I don't know who the nice gentleman was that was just talking to me, but it was nice meeting you as well, friend. My name
you
is
too,
Steve.
Steve.
All right, you take care, my friend.
And Todd, right, seriously, keep us checked in because, I mean, they're saying you're not at the shit hitting the fan portion of the program with Matthew yet, are you?
No, but it's raining hard now. I think we'll be okay. We'll be okay. I think. Who knows? You know, but it's what happens afterward because, you know, we never really recovered from that. It's been 1 year, exactly a year since the flood.
Yeah, and that was a 1,000-year flood, right?
That's why we get along. You read my mind. Right. A 1,000-year.
hang on to your hat. You're about to get another one.
You know, I mean, my house still has mildew. The north side of the house has mildew on it still. I mean, this shit has not dried out yet.
And not to make bad matters worse, but can we please remember that this is likely going to make Zika that much more fun?
They're already out here. I was on the front porch, which is the best part of the South. Honest to God, I have a wonderful front porch. I'm in like a 100-year-old house with a really wide front porch. It's old as hell, and there's always something to fix. But the front porch, that's what it's about. And the damn mosquitoes, they couldn't wait. These motherfuckers could not wait. Oh, my God. But, so I've been to down to the city, and they have these pesticide discs that you're supposed to put in water. But the thing is, you know...
But after this is all over with, Todd, there's going to be standing water everywhere. There's going to be shit strewn about. And by that, I mean, you know, debris, not actual... Well, and there will probably be actual fecal material.
Too.
Yeah. And yes, that's just going to make a perfect little breeding ground for a Zika party.
Well, you know, you're absolutely correct. And the thing is, you see, South Carolina is funny because everything below us, you know, flows downhill. Orangeburg County, Bamberg, Dorchester, you know, going down to Charleston. See, everything goes downhill here. And, like, I've been, you know, I went to Florida to see relatives, and I got relatives in Daytona, and they got hit bad. They got hit badly. Terrible. They just got walloped. But when we went to Florida last time, there was still water on the side of the highway this summer from last October.
And I have a feeling this is gonna play hell with Bridge Day too, which is like a week from tomorrow.
Can I ask you about what do you think about the medication they're going to give you for this procedure?
I've had it before. I'm not crazy about it. I don't like it. Coming down off of it is, it's got a relatively short half-life, but it'll fuck with you because you'll think, hey, I'm straight, I'm sober, and you walk about four steps and you think, you know, I think I'll lay down on the ground now.
Is it what they give you for a colonoscopy?
Yeah, it's the same stuff. Yeah, it's a nice mix of Versed and I think fentanyl.
Yeah, that'll put you out.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't even know how you're going to wake up because I couldn't wake up. That was the best sleep I had in years.
You know, 1 minute you're like, "Hey, don't kill me," and you're gone, and then and for all you know, you have repeated Walt Whitman's "Leaves of Grass" with a garden hose down your throat, and then a little bit later you're like, "Hey, what's happening?" I mean, But I usually tell them I'm really drug sensitive going in because I don't like these things in the first place, and I am drug sensitive, so yeah, that's a problem. Hey, before we go, let me check in over on the stress line because somebody just rang in. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
Hey, I'm kind of new here. My name is Matt, and I'm from Humboldt County, California.
Okay, I think we have we've communicated via email, have we not?
Yeah, I believe we have a few times. I'm unfortunately, am one of those that can't use Skype, or A, because I'm blind, and B, because I don't think I have the necessary equipment.
Both of which would be sufficient to slow you down, but you're here on the stress line, so that's cool. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, well, glad to be part of it. How's the Friday on the front porch?
So far we've been having fun. Hey, group, say hi to Matt.
Welcome, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Hello, Matt. Nice to see you, man.
Hey, Matt.
Is that Scott?
Hey, Matt, from over in the valley.
Okay. Is that Sparky?
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, Sparky. You're not that far from me.
Just a couple hundred miles.
Yeah, 150.
Maybe not even that as a crow flies.
Yeah,
if I go across Highway 36, but I ain't going that way.
I did it once.
I ain't doing it again.
You gotta go Highway 299.
Yeah, well, I've done that before.
Yeah, 36 kind of iffy, especially in the wintertime. You got so it's 299.
Yeah, and they're both. It can be both iffy in the summertime too.
Yeah,
depends if there's a forest fire going or not.
There's a forest fire going on?
In the past years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I've been over 299 almost to Weaverville in 2008. I had to go to Hay Fork.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, if you know where that is. Work at their airport.
And yeah.
The smoke was horrible, terrible. I got sicker than a dog after that day.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember a few years ago, we had, I'm right here on the coast, and for some reason we had some fires that were, just about 40, 50 miles east of us. And smoke blew in, and man, I had to go to the doctor because it got my asthma going. Oh man, that was pretty brutal.
But I've got one thing that reminds me of the coast. I walk outside. I got 2 50-year-old redwood trees in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
And you stand up between them, and it's like, I'm the luckiest man in the valley. I got my own redwood cathedral.
Yeah. There you go.
Bob's son visited me a couple years ago. He knows what I'm... He can tell Bob what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just calling in because I had a couple of... I just had a couple of things I needed to ask y'all. One is, what is the name of that comedy group that you've been talking about, Bob, that Tracy went to see?
Oh, that was, the one guy's name is Trey Crowder, TraeCrowder. And it's the Liberal Redneck Comedy Tour, I think is what it's called.
Liberal Redneck Comedy Tour. Yeah, because okay, maybe I'll try searching again, because I was searching under iTunes under Trey Crowder. I think I typed in TreyCrowder. Something like that.
It's T-R-A-E.
T-R-A-E. C-R-O-W-D-E-R. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Like,
he's got Facebook pages, Twitter, YouTube account.
Okay. And then also the Liberal Redneck Comedy Tour.
Yeah, you might. Yeah, try YouTube if you can. If their interface is something you can work with, because yeah, I know YouTube, you're not. You're sure not the first person with visual difficulties who've said that Skype is something near impossible to use.
Well, I think I think it may be possible to use. It's also that I right now don't own a appropriate microphone. I think what I need to do is see if I could get a a USB mic.
And do you have a caregiver that helps you with computers?
What's that?
Do you have a caregiver that helps you with computers?
I can do all kinds of stuff. I've got a software called a screen reader that basically do pretty much anything I want.
Well, did somebody help you set up a computer? Is what I mean.
Help me do what?
Set up your computer. Did you have somebody help you with your computer?
Yeah.
That's what I mean. They might be able to, Skype function.
Yeah, I think just what I need to do is get some type of microphone and set it up. I gotta look into that.
We've had two people that have mastered it before that are blind.
Yeah, I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
Hey guys, I hate to do this, but I've got to wrap things up and close things out.
Ooh, doggies.
Matt, if you want to send me an email to Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid at gmail.com. I'll forward your email around to people who might be able to help you in terms of like getting a. If you think your reader assist would get you through Skype, then you know you're only a headset away from participating.
Right. Okay. Can I throw one thing in real quick?
Okay. Okay. Sure.
Real quick. By the way, good luck with swallowing the garden hose, Wendy.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I'll imagine. I had that done once. I know what that's.
Yeah,
like. No,
I love how you say once.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll try anything once and twice if I'm iffy about it. But I don't even like this, and I'm having it done twice.
Right. Right. Well, Let me throw this thing in. We've got, I'm going to throw out a challenge, and this is going to go be on the books through October 15th.
Okay.
It will be up to $200. Any contributions that come in between now and October 15th, which is a week from tomorrow, they will be matched up to 200.
Well, that's mighty nice of you, Matt. Thank you very, very kindly. I bet you people will respond well to that.
And the second part of that is whatever does come in, it will be matched. In other words, you know, it's not going to just go by the wayside. Like if you don't quite make it, then that's all right. We'll pay up whatever does come in.
Well, I have people respond well to challenges. The last of the challenges got met tonight. Thank you very kindly to Laborman and to Reed as well, because that takes off some of the deficit. And thank you, Matt. I've got a feeling people will respond well, especially over the weekend. So thank you very, very kindly.
Okay. Just keep in mind that the pay up may not happen until the 1st of November, because I'm on a fixed income. So, but it just, you know, send me a note and I'll be keeping track, and we'll go from there.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Matt. Thank you very kindly, and I wish, I wish we'd started talking earlier, but hopefully you'll join into the conversation next week and going forward.
All right. Well, just thought I'd introduce myself. I'm a new to Friday on the front porch calling in, but I've been listening since March or April.
Well, we're mighty glad to have you along for the ride, Matt.
Well, you bet. You guys, you're kind of are helping keep me sane with all this election.
You know what? It's sort of a mutual group effect kind of thing. I think we all keep each other sane.
Yeah. No shit. Well, anyway, I guess I better let you wrap things up here.
All right, you take care, Matt, and thank you very kindly to the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. It was awfully good confabulating with Sparky and Steve and Scott 1 and Scott 2 and Snork and Tracy and Todd. We're awfully glad. I'm awfully glad you got in there. We've had a good time all the way around, I think, and I wish I could say something for sure about Monday. I was going to take the night off, but I don't know what's going to happen now. Depending on my state of sobriety Monday afternoon, I'll tweet and or Facebook something. So thanks again, everybody. Thanks for a wonderful week's broadcasting. Sorry about last night. I really am. I felt terrible, especially about the Malloy half of it. And that's something I'll be working on over the weekend probably too. Oh, joy. Anyway, y'all have a wonderful weekend. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And remember, join us on October the 17th, which will be a week from Monday, for the Save Coal River Mountain Rally down in Charleston at DEP headquarters. If you can't make it there, I'm going to try to stream it so you can be there virtually. You can be the cyber. Yeah. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Good night, y'all.